January 26th, 2026. Welcome to This Week in Waukesha, the podcast series. And this is podcast number four. It's another one of our four packs. I am your host again, Downtown Donnie Brown, coming to you from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown here in our beloved Banting Park home. And for the fourth time tonight, and as always, I'm joined by the mighty Max Martinson, my extraordinary producer and digital genius, who is working from the comfort of his Cream City home close to the MATC campus and walking distance from PBS Milwaukee. And again, as always, we're acting locally, thinking globally. And in the previous podcast, we were talking about, local impacts of what happened with the murders with ICE last Saturday. And so I think we've covered that. But the other big topic, too, was just the weather here. Like, and I guess really throughout many states in the country. I haven't seen the map, but I did hear that some bad weather traveled pretty far south. Excuse me. Now, for me, bad weather, as a child of Buffalo, New York, who loves lots of snow and loved playing outside as a child, bad weather is what you get here in Wisconsin on this side of the Great Lakes, where it's just freezing. It was, before I forget too, today's Bob Uecker's birthday. He was born this day in 1934 here in Milwaukee. So even though baseball season hasn't happened yet, I think if you talk to any baseball purists, I think this is the week that pitchers report to spring training. I don't know, maybe it's next week, but happy birthday, Ukes, forever in our hearts. And by the way, when I was broadcasting, my daughter's softball games using a Game Changer app, there were some parents that were listening to me, and they came up and they said, I reminded them of Uecker, and they're calling me Uke, and I took that as the ultimate compliment, even though my style is probably more like Ernie Harwell's, the voice of the Detroit Tigers. I'm not nearly as funny as Uke. Some would say I'm not funny at all. But anyway, we were talking about something else not funny, and that was the temperatures. Oh my heavens! Schools and businesses were closed last Friday. Temperatures were, what was it, like minus 15 was the, not the high, but the low, or minus 19. And then you have what's called the real feel, which I guess is the wind chill. And that's usually 10 or 20 degrees more. Just I think it got as high as 9 degrees. I actually walked the dog. And today, like right now, it's like zero this morning. So more of the same, and then now it's like seven degrees, one digit. But says here the real feels minus 11. And I let my dog out before we started podcasting a couple hours ago. And the wind has really kicked up. Like the door almost like kicked my butt trying to get back in the house because it was blowing from the wrong direction. And so, yeah, I had a little bit of a, in addition to fighting the dog to get in the house, I had a dog fight with my own screen door. And I think the screen door won on points. I took a beating. So it's like, what do we do? I mean, I think there's many listeners that have seen the Jack Nicholson movie, The Shining. It's like there's a little fear of like kind of turning into that. But I guess if there was a silver lining for my family, it was that my wife had a big surgery on Wednesday and she's doing great, but her marching orders are rest and rest and rest. Don't lift anything more than 5 pounds or 10 pounds. Don't exert yourself. You can get up, walk a little bit. even like sitting upright, they don't want her sitting. And so that was a good excuse to sit in front of the boob tube and binge watch some TV. And so that's what we did. I mentioned in the first podcast, we binged watched. In fact, my wife's still downstairs watching. I'll have to catch up. I've seen it before, but it's been a couple years. Was the Handmaid's Tale, the Margaret Atwood novel. It was adapted for, it was a movie in the late 80s that had Robert Duvall and Faye Dunaway, Elizabeth McGovern. And so I remember seeing that, but this is Netflix took it to the next level and made a big, like a 5-season series out of it. In fact, I think there's a new season coming out this year, but obviously very, you know, it's about a dystopian society. And I forget, for some reason, the men in the elite that they can't, they're having issues with fertility because of maybe there was a nuclear devastation or something. I don't know the whole, bless you, Max. I see you sneeze. But they have to rely on these women, and same thing with the wives too. And so they basically enslave these women as handmaids, but they're essentially used for procreation. They're raped. And it's a great cast. Elizabeth Moss, for any of you Mad Men fans, who is Peggy Olson, is the lead. And Bradley Whitford's in it. Who is Alexis Bledel? For any of you Gilmore Girl fans, she's in it. The one guy from NYPD Blue, the one I always forget his name, but yeah, he's got a small part in it. And different cast, man. It's obviously very disturbing, but certainly enthralling. It definitely pulls you in. Kind of like The Man in the High Castle. Did you ever watch that one, Max? It's based on a Philip Dick novel, and it's America living in an alternative reality in which the Nazis, the Axis forces, win the war. And so the Nazis, Germany controls the eastern seaboard, and Japan controls the west coast. And the territories, you know, spread a little bit more inward, but then you get to like Colorado to like Great Plains, and it's just kind of neutral. It's called the neutral territories. And they're just like, they're just kind of wilder, you know, like lawless colonies. But it's pretty interesting. And The Man in the High Castle is this guy that shows movies of the reality we know in which the Allies won the war and the Nazis and the Axis forces, the Japanese, were defeated. And so there's obviously the Nazis and the Japanese are very threatened by this. And so they're always, you know, chasing this guy down. But it's definitely an interesting, that was like maybe 4 or 5 seasons too. So, Max, what did you watch during the freeze out? Did you have a show or you did something else?
I mostly just watched basketball, to be honest. Obviously, a couple of the games got canceled because of the cold, like the Bucks game a couple nights ago, and then the Grizzlies Mavericks game. But I'm not like a huge movie watcher, nor am I really like a big TV watcher. I've just been like a sports fan for like my entire life. So.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, because you said you didn't like college sports, but you do love pro football, basketball.
Yeah. Basketball is my main one, and I like baseball during the right season for it. But yeah, whenever it's basketball season, I'm pretty locked in on that.
I love baseball on the radio. That's my favorite. There's nothing like it. But one thing there is kind of a glimmer of hope for me, having grown up in Buffalo, watching my Bills fall in the playoffs again. And again, they got a raw deal at the refing, but it's still, you know, they could have won. Anyway. The glimmer of hope is that our hockey team, the Buffalo Sabres, who for years have been like terrible, are like the toast of hockey right now. They've won like 17 of the last 20 or 21 games. I mean, it's a really exciting brand of hockey. Very aggressive, very high flying offense, great goaltending. And it brings me back to my childhood, because when I was a youth in the 70s, the Sabres were one of the elite teams in pro hockey. They had the arguably the best front line in hockey, known as the French Connection. And it was Gilbert Perreault was the center, who's a Hall of Famer. Rick Martin, left wing, another Hall of Famer. And then Rene Robert was a right wing. And they're one of the prolific front line, one of the real prolific front lines, like scoring lines in hockey. And I mean, it was a lot of fun. Like in 1975, when I was in second grade, they went to the Stanley Cup. And that was a big deal. And so it's I'd like to see that story continue. And like I said, it doesn't seem like there's anything stopping them the way that they're playing. The bad news is that every other team in that Eastern Conference is also playing lights out. So, but it certainly beats like not going to the playoffs for so many years and just being terrible to watch. It's fun to kind of reengage with that again. So, but are you probably not a pro hockey fan though, are you, Max?
Sorry, I've had my mic muted on StreamYard. I'm not like a huge hockey fan, although when the playoffs come around, I will like pay attention. I lived in Minnesota for like 6 years, so I'm like technically a Wild fan.
There you go. Yeah, and you kind of have to be a hockey fan if you live there.
Yeah.
So,
like, also because of the Admirals, like a little bit of a Predators fan.
Yeah, and that's a neat story about how they came about. Is that one woman from the SC Johnson family that really led the movement to start a team there. And so, yeah, I like their colors too, and the look, because they're the Admirals are a feeder program for the Predators, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So that's neat, because I know we did that. You put together that great half hour special on the Admirals.
Yep.
And probably the best part was the host that you recruited. That was really well done, though. But have you been to many Admiral games since doing that?
I have actually been to a couple of them. Okay. I'm not like a, you know, season ticket holder, go to every game type of person. But
I did
get down to a couple of the games last season. I went to one just a couple weeks ago for the new season.
Rasko's a friend of my wife's. So if you ever go to a game, let me know where you're sitting. And my wife will text him. He'll come and say hi and like. He did, like, my daughter, whenever any of my kids were there, like, on a field trip to the game, my wife would send him the seats, and he'd come over, and he'd give him a big hug, and he'd take his picture with all the kids and everything. And
that's cool.
It was always a pretty big deal, yeah. So, yeah, Rascal's one of the greats. So, but you like the Brewers, though, right?
Yeah, so I'm a big Brewers fan.
So, tell me about this trade that took place. That was another big, I guess, news item over the weekend, was that they traded, like, was one of their better pitchers, I think, to the Mets or the...
Yeah, to the Mets. Freddy Peralta. He's been the ace of the staff for the last... I mean, the last 2 years, at least, since Corbin Burns has been gone.
So what do you think of that? Do you like that move, or do you like who they got for him, or...?
The Mets traded one of their three, like, young pitchers.
Oh,
so his name is Brandon Sproat. And he's honestly probably the worst of the three, but he did have a decent, he had a decent season in 2025. It wasn't like amazing,
right?
But it certainly wasn't bad. And then I believe the other one was, his name is Jet Williams. So
is he a pitcher too, or is he?
No, he's more of a utility player. He can play, but he's mostly infield. Yeah, like Brandon Sproat last season had 20 innings for the Mets, and he had like a 4.79 ERA.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like awful, and I think he definitely can get better. Like, he had a good game against the Rangers, but that was about it for last season.
Okay, yeah. Well, because Pat Murphy's basically the brains behind a lot of these transactions, right? Or he's an influencer. I know they got a general manager, but... I don't know, I just figure, you know, the hope is that they know these guys well enough that they think they can develop them into something special, and hopefully that's the case. Do they probably open up some salary space to get other players, maybe?
Freddy Peralta's contract was only $8 million, but the real hit would be when his contract is up next season, when they would really have to pay him, like, you know, way more than $8 million a year.
Sure.
To keep him around, because I mean, he was like top five in Cy Young voting for the National League this past year. So I mean, he would command a big contract next year.
And sometimes that happens too, where these guys, the big name players, will a year before the contract's up, will want to renegotiate sooner, or they feel they've got that leverage that, and then it kind of puts a cloud over like what he should be doing in the field and the morale at the team, right? I mean, am I justified in saying that, or do people kind of stick with the contract terms?
They mostly stick with the contracts, but I mean, obviously everybody hits free agency eventually. But it's more just of like it's the same thing they did with Corbin Burns, where obviously they didn't have the money to pay him, or they just didn't want to pay him what he would have commanded, which, I mean, his contract to both the Diamondbacks and the Orioles were... Well, they traded him to the Orioles, but the contract he signed with the Diamondbacks was huge.
Is that right?
Yeah, so I mean, it's like, obviously, the Brewers have never been, you know, what the Dodgers are right now, where they just sign every player for $1 billion and then just defer it all to, you know, 2100. Yeah. But
sure. Yeah, 'cause that's, you didn't hear much on the news about that. And again, I know, well, I think, you know, 'cause this is such a great baseball town that people will. Like I remember a couple years ago when they did deal, it was right around this time they dealt Corbin, what's it? Corbin Burns. What's his name again? Benson?
Corbin Burns.
Corbin Burns. Yeah. When they dealt him, I remember I was at like a high school basketball game and some of the dads in the stands were like, they weren't really happy with that deal, or they'd already kind of expressed a certain amount of a disagreement or frustration with the move. But it seems like it didn't hurt him that much. So
yeah,
but with, I mean, this,
for the MLB too, it's more like people, like, you can sign contract extensions, yeah, but with baseball, it's less of like what you see in other sports where teams will like in basketball, for example, teams, sure, if they drafted you, can pay you more money under the bird rights. Okay. But like for other teams, it's like, it makes more sense to go other places if you're signed by a small market team.
Yeah.
Which is exactly, I mean, I think Freddie Peralta will sign a ridiculous contract come next year, whether that be with the Mets or with a different team.
Whoever he ends up with, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Got it. Okay. That's interesting. But now, getting back to basketballs, are the Brewers, are the Bucks your team?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what, they really haven't had much to cheer about, like, over, like, probably really the last couple seasons, right? Well, especially now, like, what's their record even right now?
They're almost, I think, 500 there. I think they're a little bit below 500.
And where do they, I mean, in terms of the playoffs, where they rank? I mean,
they're 11th on, out of, I mean, the playoffs are top six now, and then 7 through 10, yeah, is the play-in tournament. Right now they're 11th. Okay. But they're like, they're 5 games behind even the play-in, and okay, they just lost Giannis for another, you know, 6 weeks. So at least
that. He re-injured his calf muscle, or
yeah.
And so what, because I know there was some talk about him wanting a trade, and I guess that wasn't that was never verified, and Giannis denied it, and yeah, kind of what's the state of the Bucks these days in your mind?
I mean, they really have two options. They either try to trade everything and build around Giannis, or they trade Giannis and rebuild.
Yeah, sure.
There's not really another option that they have at this, yeah, point.
Yeah, I just, you know, if I had a time machine, I never would have traded Jrue Holiday.
Yeah, I mean, at the time it did make sense, and Damian Lillard was the better player. It just was unfortunate that, like,
well, he was a better scoring player, but he wasn't as good defensively, I think, as Holiday. And Holiday, yeah, like, he was a great contributor to that. Because that's the thing, is you could have the 4 best scorers on the same team, but they could still be awful because they're not playing together. They're not passing the ball to each other. And NBA, to me, is already a pretty kind of a selfish brand of basketball that and I think that's why the Bucks worked so well that 1 year, was you had Giannis, you know, could score from all over. And of course you wanted him in the paint where he was, but then you also had Middleton who was hot. And then you had this support staff with Holiday playing great defense. And he was also a decent, like, third scorer. And so it was fun to watch. And I don't know, that formula has just been kind of missing, but I know we're near the end of our time, and I want to thank everyone for listening. And remember, if you have a story, we want to hear it. That's primarily what the show is all about. There's so many amazing people in this community we call Waukesha and in the greater Milwaukee area. So, you know, give me a shout, you know, connect with me on Facebook, or send an email to through Civic Media. We'd love to have you on, or connect with my friend Max. Max has brought some guests on too. But again, I want to thank everyone for braving the elements with me tonight as we hopefully get near the end of this this really bad weather. And, you know, please remember, again, especially in this weather, that safety is everyone's responsibility. Good mental health is everybody's right. Go Ramila Mahagav Goler, and see ya!